running for my life. I'm running 'cause I wanna see Christ. I made up in my mind. I'm gonna run on while I still have time. I'm gonna run. I'm gonna run. I'm gonna run. I am gonna run. While the blood is running warm, and these eyes of mine are closed, and the blood in my vein is cold. When I step out of life's back door, I won't be able to run no more. I'm gonna run. Every day I'm gonna run. While the blood is running warm in my vein, when I hear those church bells toll, I stop and wonder, Lord, how long? When I see those hearse wheels rolling too, I stop and tell myself, boy, that could have been you. I'm gonna run. Mountains get high, I'm gonna run. Valleys get low, I'm gonna run. Steps get slow, I'm gonna run. Know what to do, I'm gonna run. Friends get few, I'm gonna run. Every day I'm gonna run. Anybody here gonna run? Oh, I'm gonna run, run, run. I've gotta run, run. Every day I'm gonna run. Run, won't give up now, I'm gonna run. Whoa, I'm gonna run, run, run. I've gotta run, run, run. I'm gonna run, gotta run. Anybody gonna run? Anybody gonna run? I've gotta run, gotta run. I'm gonna run, yeah. While the blood is running warm in my veins.
Damn. Gotta run while the blood is running warm in our veins. Gotta take advantage of the time that God gives you right now. God is good to us in spite of ourselves. Can't run, walk. Can't walk, crawl. Can't crawl, just lift up your hands and say hallelujah. Give God some glory. But whatever you can do, while you still have warm blood running in your vein, you better do it. Better do it. Because it's too late when it's over. It's too late then. Anything you didn't do now. Mm-mm. And the thing of it is, God is so good. All of us can do something. All of us can do something. I can't do what you can do. You can't do what I can do. But all of us can do something to God's glory. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand again for this choir. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you now for another opportunity to share a word briefly that I pray will be beneficial, that'll be helpful, that'll be useful to somebody's walk in life. Knowing, Lord, that at the end of it all, every Christian should want to hear you say, well done. So, Lord, how we live on this side of eternity will determine what kind of rewards we get on the other side. And, Lord God, we are looking forward to the day when we stand with the body of believers and we can look back and say, thank you, Lord, for how I got over. Matter of fact, Lord, because you bring us over. Lord God, help me to preach your word with clarity and with conviction. And most of all, help me to preach it knowing that it's about you. You get the glory always. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to our Father and our Savior Jesus and God the Holy Spirit, to the deacons and trustees and auxiliary heads and other officers of Roanoke-Salem Missionary Baptist Church, to our visiting friends, and certainly to our own Roanoke-Salem members, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for being here on this morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you will turn with me quickly to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. I asked church family first Sunday of this year to read the book of Proverbs. Derek, turn this down just a little bit, please, sir. Thank you. I asked the church family to read the book of Proverbs, and I felt like it would be helpful to all of us. And so many of you have said that you have been reading, and it has been helpful. And so I'm going to, over the next couple of three Sundays, not necessarily each following Sunday, but over the next two or three months, I'm going to preach at least one message from the book of Proverbs. We'll call it the Proverbs series, if you will. But this first message is from Proverbs 17. We're going to look at verses 27 to 28. And I'm going to share with you just something that I think, again, will be very useful. I hope it will, to think about the first as we start this new year, and that I pray the Holy Spirit will bring this back to your thoughts as you go through the year. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 through 28. I'm going to read this, church family, from the New International Version. It says, a wise man, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Now, that word man there is not just for male persons. Anybody uses words with restraint. Anybody who's got any sense. Will use a person of understanding is even tempered. Then verse 28, even a fool is thought wise if he or she keeps silent, and discerning if he or she holds his or her tongue. Even a fool will be thought to be a wise person if at some point in time they just keep quiet, just shut up. And people will think that a fool is discerning if he or she knows when to hold your tongue. So just for a few minutes, let us please reason together from this thought. Choose your words wisely. Choose your words wisely. In our high-tech age, in our high-tech age that we now live in, there are all kinds of different ways to communicate. Y'all know that. We communicate by computers, iPads, notebooks, cell phones. We don't even have to use words anymore. Amen. We really don't, because we can text. We can text, or we can type what we want to say. And if you're really cool, or if you're really lazy, whichever one you may be, not sure which one, you can even speak into your cell phone. You can speak into your device, and it'll write the words on the screen for you. You just speaking, He'll put those words up there and you can send anybody you want to. Has anybody else thought about the fact that no matter how many different ways we can communicate, we still use words as the primary method of communication? And we got all different kinds of ways we can communicate without using spoken word, but words are still the primary way that we communicate. Yes, we have these icons, which are symbols and images that represent thoughts and feelings. But icons will never, ever be able to fully replace our need to engage each other, Monte, with words. There's some things icons can't say, Gloria. Some thoughts icons cannot express, Stan. Amen. There's a simple, non-scientific explanation for why words are still so important in this high-tech age, and it's very simple. Here it is. Because Jehovah God created words, and he put power in words. Remember back in Genesis, and I've shared this before, he spoke it, and it was. Proverbs 18:21, the power of death and life is in words. We know that some people don't communicate by speaking out loud. Some people are physically incapable of speaking words out loud, but they still use signs and symbols to form what? Words. They still use signs and symbols to form words. Whether spoken or signed, the words we speak have great consequences, both good and bad. Amen. This morning, I want us to listen to what a man from the Bible, a man named Solomon, what does he have to say about words? And just in case for some who may not know, and I imagine everybody here this morning knows this, but Solomon was a king of Israel way back in the days, even before Jesus Christ walked on the earth. Solomon was the son of David, who was one of the greatest kings in the history of the world. Jehovah God loved Solomon. He gave Solomon more wealth. He gave Solomon more riches. He gave Solomon more than anybody else had ever had in the world at that time. God gave Solomon peace over the kingdom for the 40 years that Solomon was on the throne. But the most valuable thing that God gave Solomon was wisdom. All his money, all his riches, his powerful army, all that stuff was very important. Now, don't get me wrong. Solomon was the man back in the day now, because folks on the other side of the known world had heard of Solomon. Solomon was the man. Don't make no doubt. Don't doubt it for a second. But none of that is what made Solomon so important to you and to me. It was the wisdom that God gave Solomon that made him who he was. And we know the story, many of us, how when Solomon became king, he one night the Lord asked him in a dream, "What can I give you? What can I do for you, Solomon? You know, you David's son. Amen. And I loved your daddy. And I'm going to love you just like I loved your daddy. Same favor I gave your daddy, I'm going to give you that and more. So you tell me, Solomon," could you imagine one night waking up and you know you're hearing the voice of the Lord saying, "What can I do for you? What do, look, with no limitation, didn't put any restraint, didn't put any conditions on it. God just simply said, tell me what you want me to do for you." And Solomon thought about it, and he said, "Lord, give me wisdom so I'll know how to be a good ruler over your people." So God gave him wisdom, and it was Solomon's wisdom that, because he asked for that, then God said, "Well, I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you fame. I'm going to give you influence. I'm going to make sure you have peace every day that you sit on throne." You and I need to pray and ask God for wisdom. You may be 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75, 85, 95, 105. Julia went to a celebration yesterday for a man that if he lived to see 12 o'clock a.m., he turned 100 today. Amen. And I guarantee you, from what Julia said, that man said, he would tell you wisdom is the most important thing you can have. Wisdom, God's wisdom, not just any kind of wisdom, divine wisdom. Well, what did Solomon do with that wisdom, church? Well, he wrote three books. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. That's a book of the reflection of his life. And y'all need to read that sometime. All of us, it'd be good to go back and read what Solomon had to say about what happened to him from the time God gave him that wisdom and those 40 years that he sat on the throne. Read Ecclesiastes sometime, just in your own private reason, because it'll really teach you some things about how life and how having what we have can sometimes make us go astray. But it ultimately will tell you and prove to you that if God ever planted a seed in you, you come back to it. Amen. So read Ecclesiastes sometime on your own, just for your own personal reading. He also wrote the Song of Songs, or some say the Song of Solomon. That is a book Solomon wrote. Okay, now, this is get ready to get PG-13 rated. Okay, I'm warning y'all, right? Get ready to get PG-13. This is a book Solomon wrote, is in the Bible, about the pleasures of love, romance, and passion the way God intended it to be. Amen. Yeah. You go read the Song of Songs, or the Songs of Solomon. It's a book about love, the pleasures of love, romance, and passion the way that God said it should be. And then last but not least, Solomon wrote this book we're reading from today called the Proverbs. What are the Proverbs? Proverbs are simply wise sayings or words of wisdom. Proverbs are wise sayings or words of wisdom. And Solomon even told us why he was inspired by God to write the Proverbs. If you read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and I'm paraphrasing now, Solomon says he wrote these Proverbs to help the young and the simple. Simple there doesn't mean people who are not capable, not like a mental disability, no. Simple there just simply means naive. When you're naive, that doesn't mean you're dumb. When you're naive, that means you just don't know what you don't know. They're naive and simple is not meant to be offensive to anybody. When you're naive, you just don't know what you don't know. So he said he wrote the Proverbs to help the young, all right, young folks, and the naive attain wisdom and get some discipline in their lives. Y'all hear that? Not only wisdom, knowledge, but you need some discipline in your life. And there's no better time to learn that than when you're young. He said, and to help all of us know and do what is right, what is just, and what is fair. He said that I wrote these Proverbs to help the young and the naive attain wisdom and discipline, but I also wrote them so that everybody will know and do what is right, just, and fair. God made Solomon the wisest man in history of the world before there was Dr. Ruth talking about sex, before there was Dr. Phil talking about psychology, before there was Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about science and the cosmos and the universe, there was Solomon. Amen. So let me just briefly share a few of Solomon's Proverbs, and if you're not already applying some of these Proverbs to your life, I hope you'll start doing so after hearing this message. That's my prayer. I'm going to begin with some Proverbs that warn us to be careful not to use words in a way that might bring us into danger. Bring danger to us or danger to somebody else. Number one, we'll talk about a few Proverbs, just two or three, that Solomon said, be careful how you be careful the words that you use, and choose your words wisely, or else you could bring danger, number one, to yourself or to others. Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth invites a beating. Amen. Talking about Proverbs now that will keep you out of danger, keep you or others out of danger, choosing your words wisely. A fool's lip brings strife, and his mouth invites a beating. One of the reasons why we see and hear all the time about people getting into physical confrontations, and it leads sometimes to people being, you know, killed by, you know, shootings or stabbings or just being beaten to death, it's because we got this thing around now among our young folks about somebody disrespected me. You disrespected me. You know, you disrespect. You can't say anything to some folk, they disrespect it. But what the proverb says is that if you a fool, you won't know when you are saying something that's disrespectful. Amen. If you a fool. So in other words, some conflicts we get in with folks we could avoid. We just keep our mouth shut. And listen, you folks who believe in keeping it real, God bless you. But sometimes keeping it real can get you killed. Amen. Sometimes keeping it real can get you killed. Because you don't need to respond to everything that's said to you. And you don't need to say everything that comes in your head. You don't need to say everything that comes, you know, well, you know, if it comes in my head, it's coming out my mouth, yeah, and that might be the last time it comes out your mouth. Amen. I mean, look, let's be for real, right? So Solomon says that a fool's lips bring strife. In other words, sometimes we provoke folks. And we know what we're doing. We know what we're doing sometimes. We know if I respond in this way. I know if I say a certain thing to you about something that we thought was buried and put away long ago, I know what kind of reaction I'm likely to get out of you. I want you to be upset. Solomon says, you a fool. You a fool. Yeah. Because see, just because the first three or four times I said what I say and you act like you timid, Gloria, and you just walk away and you sit down and cry. See, the fourth time I say it, you might still sit down and cry, and you might act timid, but then when I go in there and go to bed that night, that song says there's a thin line between love and hate. You listen to the words of that song. She got him when he went in there to go to sleep. Yeah, so you need to be careful and thoughtful about what you say to people, and don't you intentionally try to provoke somebody. And if folks are trying to provoke you, leave it alone. If they will allow you to, walk away. Here's another one. Proverbs 18 verse 7 says, a fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Everything in almost every area of life can be recorded these days. So you need to be thoughtful, no matter where you are and who you with, about what you're saying. Now, if you have a godly spirit already, there's some things you got some Holy Ghost restraint on anyway. But some of us feel like, well, it's okay for me to say this over here because I'm not around my church family. It's okay for me to say this around here because I'm with this particular group of people. Oh, I can say something about her over here because this other person is my friend and he ain't going to go back and tell her what I said. The devil is a lie. Next thing you know, you'll see it posted on Facebook, YouTube. Somebody be Instagramming it. Amen. One of the reasons why this whole thing that's going on in Washington, D.C., and I'm not getting political one way or the other, but one of the reasons why this whole thing is going on right now is because this investigation is because of what folks have said. They've said it in writing. They said it's been recorded. And now people can go back and find what was said, and it's coming to light. Amen. So a fool's mouth is his undoing. And his lips or her lips are a snare to your soul. You better be thoughtful about what it is you are saying, because somebody somewhere may be recording it, whether you know it or not. Most of the stuff that we see on Facebook, the persons that we see doing whatever crazy stuff they're doing, it's not that they were recording themselves, it's that somebody around them start recording. You see these clips on TV, a big fight broke out of this mall. The folks fighting ain't recording it. It's the folks standing around watching the fight. And you know, you hear these stories about how somebody got rescued. They were with their friend and they fell over the cliff. And here's the friend. I'm like, why ain't the friend trying to help? No, the friend stand up on top to me. Oh, I call 911. I'm going to film you till they get here. Everything you say today, there's a real possibility somebody's going to record it. So you need to be thoughtful about what you're saying. Here's another one, Proverbs 21 and 23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. That goes back to what I said before, Proverbs 18 and 6. You don't have to respond to everything that's said to you. And people will try to provoke you. But take a deep breath. And within yourself, just ask the Lord, Lord, keep my mouth closed. Yeah, I want to say something. And there's some things maybe I could say. But no, Lord, I don't want to respond that way because, first of all, I know it doesn't please you. And the second thing is, I know all it's going to do is make this situation worse. Solomon said, the person that guards their mouth and their tongue can keep themselves from calamity. In other words, you won't invite problems to yourself by being thoughtful. Choose your words wisely. Solomon has something to say about spreading gossip. Number two, Solomon has something to say about gossip. It's always wrong to spread gossip, period. Amen. I'm gonna say that one more time. It's always wrong to spread gossip, period. If you share information you don't know to be true, it's gossip. If I spread information that I do not know to be true, it's gossip. It's gossip. That's what it is. If I don't know factually that it's true, it's gossip. Now here's an exception. Here's an exception. Amen. Now, if I'm an eyewitness to it, that's not gossip. But there again, just because I saw it don't mean I'm supposed to tell it. Amen. But that's an exception. That's an exception. And if I'm sharing information that I got off of social media or some other source, then I need to say to you, Veronica, this is what I read on Facebook. This is what I saw on YouTube. This is what I read in Harper's Bazaar magazine. I don't need to tell you like I know this factually that because I witnessed it or some. No, I need to make sure I attribute it to the source that I got it from. But if you're spreading information that you don't know to be true, you can't attribute it to a source that somebody else can also go back and verify, then it is gossip. Proverbs 12 and 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the righteous bring healing. What are reckless words? Gossip. Most gossip is reckless words. You're just talking. We get on the phone, we text, I get with DeVito in the corner, and I go to start telling him something just like I was right there when it happened. And I might be 20 folks removed from the actual situation. And when DeVito finally decides to do some checking for himself, he finds out that every word I done told him was a complete lie. Ain't none of what I said to him true. Amen. Reckless words. People's lives have been ruined by reckless words. People have lost their lives behind people using reckless words. Amen. What else does Solomon have to say about gossip? Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers an offense promotes love, but he who repeats the matter separates close friends. He who covers an offense, they promote love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Whole lot of friendships, whole lot of families right now, folk not speaking to each other because of gossip. Because one person in the family says something about somebody else in the family, and the person that was said to didn't have enough godliness in them to keep their mouth shut. So no sooner than that conversation ended, then they get on the phone, and then they call the person that the other person was talking about, and here we go. Here we go. Friendships ruined for life because of gossip. Well, I heard you say it. Yeah, she told me what you said. Yeah, brother, you, I heard you had some words for me. What's up now? I ain't said nothing. No, yes, you did. I know you did, because I know that's who you are. So I'm standing here now. What's up now? That stuff happens every day. The Bible talks about it. He who covers an offense, even if somebody, so here's the other side of this. Even if Julia tells Hambone that I snore so loud she can't sleep at night, Hambone ain't got to come back and tell me she said it. See now, I'm going to be the one that covers the offense this time, because I'm godly like that. What else does Solomon have to say about gossip? Proverbs 26 and 20. Listen to this. Now, this one hits home, church family. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. You want to stop something from jumping off? You be the one to not spread it. Yeah, because as far as you know, you could be the one that either stops something from going further, or you could be the one that lets it out the bag and then is out there and we can't ever get it back. So you don't know that when somebody's telling you something. You don't know that when you are witness to certain things. You may be the very one that God is looking to see what you're going to do. What you're going to do with it. Read it again. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. No gossip, no problems, no issues, no disrespect. Folks who love to gossip, and you know who you are, God is going to hold us accountable for every word we said on this side of eternity. Our words can hurt people. Gossip can hurt people. And there's going to be a payday for you. If you are a consistent gossip in your life, there's going to be a payday for you on this side of eternity. Choose your words wisely. Let's move on to number three. Solomon has something to say about being wise. How we use words in a wise way. Being smart in what we say. Using words to avoid strife. Using words to avoid division. To share using information. To share information that's useful. Here are a few proverbs on how to use words in a way that's wise and smart. Proverbs 10 and 19. When words are many, sin is present. But he who holds his tongue is wise. When words are many, sin is present, but he who holds his tongue is wise. In other words, when you do a whole bunch of talking, sooner or later, you're going to say the wrong thing. You ought to be able to restrain yourself. You ought to have a filter in your mind that says, I've talked too much now. Because when words are many, sin is present. But when you hold your tongue, you're wise. That's just saying you're using common sense. Again, simply put, you don't need to tell everything you know. Some of us tell everything we know. People can't tell us anything because we're going to tell it. Some of us even laugh about the reputation. We got the reputation for being a blabbermouth. That ain't nothing funny. You shouldn't want to have the reputation of being a blabbermouth. Amen. Folk can't trust you. Folk on your job don't trust you. Your family don't trust you. You get to the family reunion, they go to talking about something, and you be standing there like, well, wait a minute. I didn't know about that. Yeah, we didn't tell you. Because we knew you were going to tell it. That's why we didn't tell you till we got right here, all of us together. And we know it's right because ain't nobody else said nothing about it until we all got here with you. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 15 and 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, You need to be thoughtful how you respond to people. Even when people are responding to you in an ugly way, in a mean way, in a way that's meant to provoke you, you still need to be thoughtful. And look, he says a gentle response turns away wrath. Somebody may be really mad and angry and ready to, you know, really, they come prepared to have some kind of really heated discussion with you. And they say, and you just say, okay, you're right. And a lot of times you'll see them just calm right down because you've taken all the air out of their sail. All that anger because they can't prepare it now because they just knew when I say to you what I plan to say to you, they just knew you were going to come back. And when you don't come back in the way they expected or you don't come back at all, that steals their thunder. The Bible says it. That's not me making this up. Proverbs 15 and 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Folly is silliness and stupidity. So a wise person, you know, your tongue, you speak and you speak knowledge and you share knowledge. But a person who is a fool just talks silliness and stupidity most of the time. And we know some folk like that too. Everything out their mouth is something foolish or silly. And, you know, we all can be silly sometimes, but that shouldn't be who you are all the time. Amen. Choose your words wisely. Here's the last thing I'm going to talk about using words wisely. Using words to encourage, to unify people. Number four, using words to encourage or to unify people. Solomon has something to say about that. We need more of that in America right now. You don't have to wait on the politicians to get it right. Amen. God has empowered you and he's empowered me to use words to create a more positive and friendly society. How can we use our words? Through prayer. The power of prayer. Pray and ask God to change your environment. Pray and ask God to change what's going on in your job. Wait a minute. Let's back up. Let's start with where we need to start. Pray and ask God to change you. Amen. How about that? Pray and ask God to change me. Then when we pray and ask God to change me first, then I can say, now God also changed this situation. Amen. Here's what Solomon has to say. Proverbs 15 and 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The tongue that brings healing, the tongue that speaks positivity, the tongue that prays, the tongue that encourages, the tongue that says things to unify and not divide people, that brings healing. But when you have a lying, gossiping, hateful tongue, you crush the spirit. Proverbs 28, 15 and 28. The heart of the righteous weighs, that word means thinks about. The heart of the righteous thinks about its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Amen. The heart of a righteous person, you think about what, if you're righteous, you got any kind of Holy Spirit in you whatsoever, you're going to think about what you say before you say it. Because the Holy Spirit inside of you says to you all the time, speak the truth, but what? In love. Speak the truth, but in love. So the heart of a righteous person, you're going to think about how you respond to people. But if you a fool, just what, like we said before, whatever comes in your head, coming out of your mouth. Amen. Proverbs 15 and 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. So if you are a righteous person, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you've been covered in his blood, you can pray knowing that the Lord hears your prayers. And the Lord, God, the Holy Spirit will tell you and what to pray for and how to pray. So that's encouragement. You can speak words. You can choose words that encourage. You can choose words that unify. As Christians, God is always concerned about the words we say to each other and the words we say to unsaved folks. He's not only concerned about the words we say, he's concerned about how we say those words. And most importantly, God is concerned why we say what we say. God cares about why we say. What's your motivation? See, it's just like, let me give you this example. And I think everybody in this room can probably relate to this in some way. When somebody walks up to you and without any sensible reason to say so, the first thing out their mouth, girl, man, you sure have gotten big. What's wrong with your head today? Did you get dressed in the dark this morning? You didn't cut the light on and look in the mirror yourself when you came out? Folks will say that kind of stuff to you. I'm not making it up. I know every one of y'all in here have had the experience because either somebody said something like that to you or you the one that said it. One way or the other. You've had that experience, or you were the one that was saying that to somebody. And even if you meant well, now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying every time people say such things to us that they don't mean well, but the question is, what was your motivation for saying that to somebody? And was there not a better and different way to say it? Amen. Don't you think I know I'm 50 pounds overweight? Yes, I do. Because I look in the mirror every day. And do you think I care I'm 50 pounds overweight? No, I don't. Because I love the food that I eat. That's my issue. Well, that's one of them anyway. But in all sincerity, God cares about
why we say what we say. He does. And here's the thing, church family. You can lie to me all day long. God knows the truth. See, just like we say stuff to folk, and then we say, oh, I was just kidding. Ah, I was just playing. No, you won't. And even if you fool me, God knows the truth. Yeah. He knows the truth. Amen. You and I may not be thinking about the words that come out of our mouths, but God is listening to every single one of them. You know what? Even the lies we tell. Some folks lie and think that God doesn't even pay any attention to the fact that we lie. God knows you lying. He knew you were lying before you told a lie. And he's keeping a track of your lies. Amen. But God is listening to every single word that we say. And God will judge what we say as much as he judges what we do. Some of us are under the mistaken impression that as long as our actions are okay, then we can think and say whatever we want to. And if somebody ask us, or before him, we can rattle down the list, oh, I don't do this, and I don't do that. And Monte, I gave that up years ago. And all these are physical actions and behaviors, right? But what about what you think? And what about what you say? God judges them too. Amen. But we're talking about words this morning. Got to choose our words wisely. I thank God for giving us Solomon. He wrote the Proverbs to share God's wisdom with all of us. But Solomon is dead and gone. Amen. And I might not be able to read or understand some of us, you know, even though he's written these words, some of us may not be able to read or understand his words. So most of all, I thank God for Jesus, because he's not walking on this earth anymore, but Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus has no beginning. Jesus has no end. And before there was Dr. Ruth, and before there was Dr. Phil, and before there was Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, and before there was Solomon, there was Jesus. Jesus has the wisdom that they gave to Solomon. Yeah, Solomon wouldn't have had any wisdom had it not been for Jesus. And I'm so glad that Jesus is our example of how we are to choose our words wisely. Because Jesus blessed the whole world with his words. Jesus is the one that taught us to pray the prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Jesus is the one that's turned and looked at the woman who got caught in adultery and asked, sister or daughter, where are thy accusers? Who's standing around that accuses you? And she says, there's none here. He says, neither do I accuse you. Jesus is the one that when they took him to Pilate's judgment hall, he did not contest and challenge and try to get out of what his purpose was, which to die for our sins. Amen. Jesus was the one that says, love God first and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is the one who says, when he was asked, how many times should I forgive folks that offend me? Seven times. He said, no, 70 times seven. Jesus said all those words to bless our souls. Jesus is the one who, when he was on that cross, Jesus is the one that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. And Jesus is the one that when he got up on that third day morning and he was about to go back to heaven, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven, on earth. Now go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to believe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. That was Jesus. He was alive then. He's alive now. And Jesus is the one that said he will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is the one that says, I'm going to be with you and stick closer to you than a brother or a sister. When your father and your mother forsake you, Jesus will still love you. Jesus is the one that you can call on in a midnight hour when you don't know what else to do. Jesus is the one who will hear your prayer. Jesus is the one that you can call anytime. His line is never busy. Jesus is the one that you can text anytime and it won't bounce back to you. Jesus is the one that always has his ear listening. Jesus is the one that'll come into your hospital room and lay hands on you. Jesus is the one that'll stand beside you in the courtroom and defend your case. Jesus is the one that'll fight for you when the whole world is against you. Because the Bible says, as long as God be with you, that's more than the whole world for you. I thank God for the wisdom of Solomon, but most of all, I thank God for Jesus. Jesus is the one that loves you. Jesus is the one that loves me. Jesus is the one that made the ultimate sacrifice. Solomon didn't die for you. David didn't die for you. Moses didn't die for you. Ruth didn't die for you. Esther didn't die for you. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't die for you. Jesus, and Jesus alone, he died so that we would have a right to the tree of life. Jesus is the one that said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Wait a minute. But I have come that all of us can have life and have it more abundantly. Give God a praise for Jesus.